Well, I do want to remind you, we're still in the last couple of days. Friday ends our 20 days of prayer. Hopefully you've been praying over those things, and since we've been trying to pick one or two, I think, during the services, and so I want to pick one out tonight as we do that, and maybe we'll just pick two out. So if somebody could just pray that we, that will God give us opportunity for the community, that we might evangelize the community and be publicly receptive, that the community will receive us well as we share the gospel and do some evangelism events this summer into the fall. And then, so would somebody want to pray for that? All right, go ahead.
Hello? Okay. Lord, I ask you to let us be a light unto the community. You know, I've had dealings with my neighbors before. Just make them good dealings. Let your hand be involved in that. Because we're going to be opening up this house, and we're going to have to deal with the neighbors a lot on that, and there might be some problems. I just ask that you step in and keep your protection over the house, and just let us go out in the community and talk to people that we need to talk to. Let the doors be open and the lights be turned on for that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. And then we'll just pick one more. Let's do, well, right now we're looking at the men's house getting ready to open. So somebody wants to pray that we're going to be able to finish this thing up. And I know that Phil Marlowe is ready to be done with it, wherever he's at. But we're going to finish this thing up. There he is. I saw a hand. He's on the floor. So anybody, somebody pray for that. We do got some people coming in for interviews already. Intake interviews already, so they're calling faster than we're being able to open. So somebody want to call, pray for, we also need a couple more staff members as well, so if anybody wants to pray for that, that'd be great. Larry, yes, thank you.
Hello. Dear Father, thank you for this day. Lord, I want to lift up this men's house to you, Lord. You made it possible for this to happen, and I just pray that we'll be able to staff it like we need to, and that it will be a blessing to you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. I want to do one more, although I said two, but I want to do for the 16 baptisms. We need to keep that heavy. Well, we got one coming up on Sunday, so that's good. But somebody want to pray that we're going to reach that goal.
Let's pray for those baptisms. Father, we come to you this evening, Lord, and though we have nine of the lights on the wall lit up, Lord, and it's a blessing to have seen that in the past year, God, I pray that you bring the 16 more, I guess 15 at this point, Lord. We have one on Sunday, Lord, and praise you for that. Praise your name. Lift your name on high for that. It's a change. It's a first step in following you, God, and I just pray that we can have that wall lit up for you, Lord, so that each one of those lights can be a light to their community, to their world, to their lives, to their workplace, wherever it may be, God, and that it be a chain reaction, that your Holy Spirit work on those lives of those people, Lord. And I ask as members and believers in here, Lord, that we don't keep this gift that you've given us to ourselves, Lord, that we take it out to the community, out to the world, Lord, so that more people can come to know you and be baptized in your name, Father. We love you so much, and we humbly ask this tonight, Lord, that you provide those people for us this year. We love you, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. And what did Jesus say? My house should be a house of prayer. And that's what we've done tonight. We need to make sure this church stays a house of prayer. Amen. We need to make sure it stays a house of prayer. So, but tonight I'm doing a topical message tonight. So you got to bear with me. It's topical. It's a little different than what I'm used to, but topical. But, scriptures I'll use tonight mostly be NIV. But who is this? The God that we serve. I mean, when you think of God, you think that, I mean, it's just a lot. He's a lot. Scripture tells us in the very beginning of our Bible that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Scripture tells you that God is the creator. It's His world. It's His creation. And in there, He created man, and man is also His creation. And creation does what it's supposed to, except for man. The one that He loves so much rebels against God. And then we see all these, we see these stories all the way through Scripture of God's love, all the way through the Old Testament, giving the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Number two, thou shalt have no idols. Number three, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. Number four, thou shalt keep the Sabbath and keep it holy. First four gods. He put those in order that man would be drawn to God. And through we see Scripture through that, that God shows Himself in many different ways and different ways to show that He doesn't do everything the same way, that He doesn't show Himself in the same way, but that He is God. And we see that He just loved us so much that He gave His own Son, that you and I would never give our own Son for a world that despises God and is filled with sin. But He did. When you make something with all you've got, you kind of care about it. When you make something and you take care of it, whether it's a bush plant that you planted and it's roses, you will prune it from time to time. You want to see beautiful roses on it. If you build a house, you want that house to be solid. You want it to be there so you can live in it and have joy in it and raise a family in it. When you make it, you're proud of that. You put all the elbow in, you put all the elbow work in, and you purchased all the materials. And that's just a house. But creation is God's. And so He sends His Son, and His Son comes and does mighty and great things, and healings and teachings and casting out demons and doing miracles, walking on water, feeding people, healing people. And the world despised Him and put Him on a cross. And God even knew that was going to happen. But yet love still triumphed because it's God's world. It's God's creation. And Jesus does die, but the power of it all is that death couldn't hold Him. And He resurrected on that third day. If you can handle it, read Peter, you can handle it. He was busy during those 3 days. I'll just leave it at that. And then we see the book of Acts bringing in the Comforter, the Encourager, the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. Wow, that's to do that was amazing for those who come to Christ to have a relationship with God. He allows it to happen if we accept Christ and He infills that believer with the Holy Spirit. And listen, you don't have to run around on the stage and put a show on to say you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Because it's not a show. And you'll get where I'm going here. Doesn't mean God can't do those things. Holy Spirit gets excited sometimes. But be careful that you're not making your own Holy Spirit just so you can see something. The Holy Spirit comes and acts. And then we see the awesomeness of Christians starting to grow everywhere. And then there's Satan's attack and persecutes Christians. Did you notice that Gentiles were never persecuted until they took the name of Jesus? It was always the Jews were always persecuted. But now it's the believers as well. But then we come to all the great writings, and then we come to this place called Revelations where people are afraid to read, but we see in there people are fearful of it. But what it's really about is God says, I'm closing this part of the book. My son is coming again, as it says in previous scriptures. But I've got a new place, as Jesus says. But God brings his people home. And those who have chosen not to come to Christ and to do it God's way are separated. And God brings in the fold, and they worship. We will worship him. But in between that Genesis and that Revelation, what we see is that we see that we are living life right now. We are the time right now. We are the generation right now. And I've hoped that you have taken and asked Christ to be a part of your life and have repented and believed in Jesus. And you've done that and you have salvation. And you've been baptized and you're filled with the Holy Spirit. I pray that you have that. Wow, what a gift all that is. It takes a lifetime to just try to understand it all truly. But I hope that you have that. And because you have that, many of you, I know this, that there's been places in your life where you got at a crossroads and you weren't sure really what to do or how to handle things, but you know who you are. You know who he is, and you find yourself praying to God to meet a need, to have a healing, to work something out, to open a door that no man can open, to close a door that no one can shut. And you don't find yourself praying to him for just that one moment. You find yourself praying at another moment for something different, for your marriage, for your kids, for your grandkids. But you find out that God is faithful, and you begin to pray every day, not just in those pivotal valley moments, but you pray every day, every day. I want to share with you tonight my topical message is reverence, giving reverence toward God. What is reverence? It's an honor and a deep, it's a deep respect to God. But we show it in outward appearance. But this has to be right first. Don't get me wrong. This has to be right first. Like I said earlier, you can run around and try to have a Holy Spirit experience, but if the Holy Spirit's not in here, you don't have the Holy Spirit. You're jumping on somebody's bandwagon. You're jumping on something else. I want to share with you some scriptures tonight that helps me understand that I need to have reverence for God. Scripture puts me in my place. Genesis 1:1 puts me in my place. Genesis 1:1 puts me in my place. Tonight I want to share scriptures with you that will show you and help you. I hope that you know that we need to have reverence for God. Most of these are Old Testament, but there are a few that I've chosen for New Testament, but these are NIV. Usually I use another version, but I like the simplicity of the NIV in this. Leviticus 19:30. If you write them down, I'll try to give you time, but if you don't know where there's a few I want to share tonight. So Leviticus 19:30 says this: observe my Sabbaths. This is the Lord. Observe my Sabbath and have reverence for my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Now, I used to wear suits all the time. First thing that left me was my tie. But I still kept wearing my suits. And then I just kind of went to sports jackets. But I looked around in the church and I didn't see anybody else wearing suits. Once in a while, once a year, Jeremy will spiffy up. But I wear jeans, but I try to wear a dress shirt. I try to do the best I can with that. Now I can go in and once in a while I'll wear a suit because I just feel like I want to wear a suit. It doesn't make me better than anybody. I just want to wear a suit. And this is why, because this is what I know, and Lord forgive me, I need to be better with my wife on dates and stuff. But I know this, if I'm going to go out, I'm going to try to look my best. If I got a date with my wife, I want to look my best. Now she might say, you wore that yesterday. I don't want that. I don't want it to where you wore that yesterday or you wear that all the time. I want to, sometimes, you know, I don't like to shop for myself, but sometimes I do need a new shirt. But when I go out, I want to make sure that I look my best, that I pay attention to what we're doing. In the house of God, God is saying, I want you to observe my Sabbath. That's part. That's the fourth commandment. Let me tell you, the commandments are very important. They're not like done because of Jesus came. No. No. But he says, have reverence for my sanctuary. Now, you know what bothers me? I see something you all don't see every Sunday. Now, you singers see. I see the balcony, and it turns my stomach. If I look up higher, I see all the stuff falling off, the paint chips and everything. I want to get that fixed. We got to take care. Now, I want to tell you, this church building, we prayed over it. It is, I believe it's God's building. This is the church building. This is where the Lord dwells in the temples in the hearts of people and not in temples built by men. I get it. But also, this is where we come together to worship. Like-minded, we worship God. This is where believers, non-believers go, or someone that is a prodigal that's walked away from God, but their heart's starting to turn back to God. They know there's one place they can go where other believers are, and that is the church. Now, this is our church building. Now, we're really trying to figure out how we can get it fixed because it costs thousands of dollars. You've seen the prayer list. Thousands of dollars. And that's just the outside stuff. But that side of the church is different than this side. Fellowship is good. It's all should be with the Lord and everything. But there's something special about this part of the building. Now we've come to a place where I don't pick on people, what they wear. People bring drinks in and stuff, you know, things like that. I try to be cautious of that. I bring a water in, you know. I don't bring my Gatorade in, but I bring my water in. I'm cautious of those things because every time I go back to the Old Testament, I just kind of do this. Because there was a time when you couldn't even go back. It's called the Holy of Holies. You couldn't even go there. You couldn't even go beyond that curtain. You just couldn't do it. And when we can get kind of an attitude like, "Oh, I got Jesus, I'm good to go," we need to take a moment back and give reverence to the Lord. Let me tell you, Jesus come from heaven. I'm going to tell you, you want to know how much God loves you? Jesus came to a filth, disgusting world where all the thoughts of men were pretty much evil. So the Lord says, observe my Sabbaths and have reverence for my sanctuary. Respect my sanctuary. Respect it. Have a deep respect for it. Demonstrate it outwardly. If there's garbage, we should pick it up. Amazes me. I know people forget their Bibles from time to time. But I want to tell you, some people just leave it all the time. I remember, especially on State Street, people just left their Bibles. This is my spot and leave it. I'm like, well, what are you doing? Basically, I was like, man, I hope you have Bibles at home, or is this just something you're doing on Sunday or Wednesday? But we are to have reverence, and that's a whole message in itself about the sanctuary. But I want to move on because it's not just about giving reverence in the sanctuary. When we come to Sunday on Wednesday night, we come into this place and we're just going to give him reverence here. But what does it say in Joshua? Joshua says this. Joshua is getting ready to go out into a battle. And that night he says in Joshua chapter 5 verse 14, neither. So he sees this individual. It's an angel of the Lord there. He says, are you for us or for them? And he says, neither. The angel of the Lord said, neither, he replied. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. You see, every time we think God is, every time we get into a fuss with somebody, we think God's on our side. Because I'm a Christian, God's on my side. Well, let me tell you, sometimes we're against God. When we make bad choices, we're against God. We're working against God. But here it is, Joshua here is going in for a big battle in the morning. And the Lord meets him out there, off to the side. He's a good leader. He goes off and he's just going to process what's going on. Probably going to pray a little bit, thinking about what's happening, taking a moment. But the scripture says, he says, then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked, what message does my Lord have for his servant? Although Joshua is in charge, when the Lord comes upon the scene, he drops. Not just in spirit, in his own pride and all that. He drops physically before the Lord. Which is where some of us need to get in our life. We need to physically show a reverence outwardly by getting on our knees before God. But God is so awesome, he doesn't even stop. It doesn't stop there. In Nehemiah chapter 5, there's a piece here. It's a part that a lot of people miss because we talk about the walls. We talk about all that stuff is great. But there's this little moment about this governors. And Nehemiah is a governor. He says, but the early governors, they're talking here in Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 15. But the earlier governors, those preceding me, Nehemiah is saying, those governors before me, they placed a heavy burden on the people and took 40 shekels of silver from them in addition to food and wine. There's things that he could have also done. But what? He says, their assistant also lorded it over the people. Their assistant, the governor's assistants lorded it over the people. So everybody was getting into the people, getting what they deserved as they thought, or what was supposed to be given to the governor. But what does Nehemiah says? But out of reverence for God, I didn't act like that. I didn't act like that. So Nehemiah comes to this part. He's giving reverence to God because he says, I'm not going to act like that. So the way we act, we can give reverence to God. By not acting like everybody else is doing the wrong thing, but doing the right thing, we give reverence to God. Amen? So we can do that, and we see the example here is in Nehemiah, who had every right to take the certain types of food and all this stuff, the governor's privilege. So I didn't do that. And the rest of the scriptures would say that the people, it was heavy on the people, and I didn't want to do all that. But he said, out of reverence for God, I didn't act like that. And then Psalms 5:7 says this, but I like this. Psalms 5:7 says, but I, by your great love, can come into your house. Let me just read it this way. But I can come to your house. But we have this piece in between it. But I, by your great love, can come into your house. In reverence, I bow down toward your holy temple. That's a commitment. That's a faithfulness that he had because he's allowed to have reverence because of God's great love. Have a deep respect and a deep reverence for God. And again, demonstrating out an outward appearance. Psalms 130, verse 4 says this, but with you there is forgiveness. But with you there is forgiveness. Praise God for that. Amen. So, but with you there is forgiveness so that we can, with reverence, serve you. Now, let me read that again. But with you there is forgiveness. Let me remind you, without Jesus Christ, there is no forgiveness. In the Old Testament, without all these sacrifices, without a relationship with God and all these things, there's no forgiveness. It had to be a sacrifice, all that stuff. But with you there is no forgiveness. He acknowledges that and then says, So we can now, because of the Lord, with reverence, we serve you. Now we can serve you in reverence. So we show God in our serving, we can show God reverence. But when we have an attitude, because we're the only ones putting up the Christmas tree stuff, I'll point a finger at myself. We lose that reverence for God and we get upset because we only see 10 people helping instead of 20 people helping. And we lose the joy. And God loses the reverence that we should be giving Him and how we serve Him. Listen, if you have a hard time serving and your attitude gets up, it's really easy around here to get upset about certain things because there's so much going on. You feel like sometimes you're the only one doing certain things or somebody didn't do with it. I'm telling you, it'll steal your joy and your reverence for the Lord will just go away because you're focused on what's not happening instead of doing what God's called you to do. So out of reverence, we can serve the Lord. Amen? Now I want to move on to Jeremiah, great prophet. Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 10. He's talking about the, let me just tell you right now in this Jeremiah, God's people are in a mess. They've walked away from God. They're not worshiping. They're getting ready to get hammered. Okay? This is, so Jeremiah 44 verse 10 says, to this day they have not humbled themselves or shown reverence, nor that they followed my law and the decrees I have set before you and your ancestors. So God is speaking to Jeremiah, and he says, to this day they have not humbled themselves or shown reverence. God is looking for reverence. He's looking for that respect that he deserves. And let me tell you, you can give God your respect and you can give him reverence, but I want to tell you, we'll still fall short at times. But God's looking at this. If you're not even trying, don't fool yourself. Reverence is important to God. Now, 2 Corinthians says this in chapter 7, verse 1. He says, therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates the body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. I want to live a good life before the Lord because He is God. Because I go back again to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Let me tell you, when anybody stands before God, there is no excuses. We have all that we need to live a successful life in this world with God. Understanding and knowing who He is. He's our Creator. He's our Father. Jesus is our Savior. And listening and abiding and paying attention and being obedient to the Holy Spirit. We have everything that we need to have success in this world. Not success in the way the world sees success, but in the way that God sees it. And I want to tell you, when you live the way God wants you to, there is blessing. I'm just telling you, there is blessing that flows. But he says, since we have these promises, once you understand and know what you get from God, what you've gotten through salvation and all the things and all the promises that God is, you begin. You do it out of reverence for God. Hebrews also tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Once again, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. You see, the theme tonight is about giving God reverence, putting God back to where He needs to be, getting off our high horse, getting off our plans, getting off our ideas. Let me tell you, most of our choices that we make are foolish. But when we let God be a part of our choices, we do a lot less of that stuff. Our direction starts to shift in the right direction, and our paths are in the right path. When we give reverence to God, we're showing where God is in our life. We're showing ourselves where we are in our life. Everything I own belongs to God. I say that, but do I mean that? I pray that I mean that. How can you do that? How can you say that? Because I read God's word. I see where it works when men and women follow God's way where it works. And even if some things get rough and tough, God's still there. And I notice this, that whenever a man or woman goes through a storm, God's on the other side ready to bless. Everything I have, my home has always been open. My home has always been open. Any time of day or night, it's always been open. My phone lays beside my nightstand. If it rings, I pick it up. Because I belong to the Lord. I know what it's like to live a life without God. Stupid decisions, sinful decisions, bad things happen all the time. Trying to figure out how to make it work, and you cannot make it work because it wasn't designed to work that way. We were designed and created to serve God Almighty, to love Him with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and to be faithful and to grow and to let Him do a work in us and let His will be done in our life. Until the day we breathe our last breath, and it's good from there. Don't mourn my death. Be happy when I pass away. If you have a tear, it's okay. But it should be a joyful one. Because I'm serving God now, just like you. I got one life to live. And I want to live it here. And I want to give God reverence here in this world where my faith is ignited and my reverence is shown outwardly so that I can raise a hand. I can raise two hands. Or I can do whatever I need to. I can come in here. I can get on my knees. I can pray. I can lay just prostrate right out on the floor. I can do whatever I need to do. Whatever it is, this is pulling me toward the Lord. The Spirit and my heart and my mind are working together. And also my body coming into submission to giving God reverence. Because there is a throne, folks. And one thing I've been taught, and you've been taught through history, is that when people come to the throne, they kneel. The old kings and days and old queens and the knights would come in after their journey, after their wars or battles, and they would come in, and the king would be there, the queen would be there, whoever it would be, but the king would be the one, and they would walk in there, and they'd always just kneel right there. They would just kneel right there, and their head would always be down, giving reverence to that king. But let me just tell you, we serve the King of Kings. We're going to kneel before the King of Kings. It's not going to be that we didn't know Him. It's because we knew Him. We knew Him not because we just saw Him for the first, but because we knew Him here. Because we received all that God has. We took that Genesis 1:1 and we took it not just in the mind, but in the heart and soul. And we understand that all the way from Genesis, all the way to Revelation, there's a story being told and I'm in there. Just like you. Every person is in there. But you choose your own path. God has made a way that we all don't have to go to that same death-ending, painful end. But God made a way from Genesis all the way to Revelation. He's made a path. And when we begin to understand that and we receive that, we understand that, wow, God is amazing. I can't grasp God. And we get to a point when we get, the longer we walk with the Lord, we draw closer to Him, then we begin to also understand how big He is. We don't quite understand how big He is until we start growing in our relationship with God. Reverence. Scripture says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. There will be those who will kneel out of, oh my, because Scripture says it's going to happen, they're going to happen. Some people will kneel and acknowledge it, facing a judgment. And others will be kneeling because they're ready to, we've been wanting to, we've been waiting for it. We've knelt here a lot, but can you imagine kneeling before the throne itself? I want to see what Isaiah and John saw. I want to see the colors whipping around. I want to see the saffron. I want to see the cherub. I want to see the angels. But I want to see all my family that know the Lord. I want to see my friends. I want to see all the people we led to the Lord, all that. But who do I want to see more than anyone? I want to see Him Himself. And I want to give Him reverence. And folks, that's going to take a while. I want to hear Him say my name. I want to hear Him say, "Well done. I've been watching you. Well done." I want to hear him say, "Welcome home." I want to see the angels that came and helped. I just want to see them. You see, here your faith is tested. There, your family, you're together. One thing I know, folks, is this. When I truly at a place where I give God reverence, it's almost always feeling like He's just about an inch from you. And you almost sometimes think, if I just open my eyes, I might see the rim, I might see the hem of His garment right there on the floor. But I don't. And we don't, because our faith is ignited and we don't have to see that He's there. We know that He's there and we're giving Him reverence because He is God. He is the one that created all things. He is the one that holds it all in His hands. But He did say it's either my way or it's hell's way. I want to choose, and I've already made my choice. I've chosen His way. But I also know I need to give a little more reverence. Need to give some more reverence to God. Father, as we get ready to close this part of preaching, what I love about a service is Your Spirit keeps on preaching. You speak to individuals like no man can preach, no man can teach. For You know the motives of the heart and the attitude of the mind. May Your will be done tonight, and whatever it needs to be, may Your name be praised. May reverence be given to You. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand tonight.